Good evening and welcome to Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins. There are quite a few songs in honor of JFK on the program this evening and several new releases as well. But to start, I have a very special treat for you, a singer-songwriter who also founded and runs a record label for independent folk musicians, and that is just the tip of the iceberg. There's going to be so much to talk to him about. Andrew Calhoun is here in the studio with me. Welcome, Andrew.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's great to be back in Madison.
It's great to have you here. Before we go too far, I read that you are a baseball fan, and I wonder what your take is on how the season ended this year.
How the season ended? I've gotten to the point where the World Series is an afterthought to the playoffs. You know, it's usually too cold outside, and the whole thing with the leagues, with one DH having it and the other not. I don't know. I've lost interest in the World Series to a large degree. The playoffs were great. Plus, I mean, I was on the road. I couldn't really watch the series games, or I might have felt differently. But it didn't seem like it was as competitive as we'd hoped.
So your interest in baseball is more, or was maybe, as a player?
Oh, I love the game. I like following a team, and I'm afraid I'm a Cub fan. And, I was a Yankees fan as a kid because my family lived out in Long Branch, New Jersey, and so I grew up loving the Yankees. And I, you know, we moved here when I was 10, and I continued to love the Yankees until they signed Alex Rodriguez, and I've rooted against them ever since. I've become, you know, a Cub fan. I like following a team, and I'm just as interested in a team that loses 20 games in a row and how they overcome that. I'm fascinated by the psychology of the game more than the sabermetrics aspect of it. So,
yeah. Well, we invited you here to talk about music mostly and hear some of your music. So why don't we start with a song? What would you like to start with?
I'm going to play The Ballad of John Henry.
What's the background of the song?
Well, this was the most widespread ballad in the South. It was spread by railroad crews. And I got interested in playing the song, and I was looking at the internet, and there was one line. It said, John Henry was a prisoner, and the hair stood up on the back of my neck. Because there was always something funny about the song to me. Like, why do people think it's so heroic, this guy's working himself to death? And so there was a book by Scott Reynolds Nelson called Steel Driving Man. I needed a lot of research, and I can't go into it all, but he found John William Henry in the prison records in the Virginia penitentiary and found out a little bit about him. Every guy who worked in that tunnel died, if not within a few days, within a few years from breathing the silica dust. They were driving through a mile and a quarter tunnel, the hardest rock in the world. So I put this together. I just added two verses and the rest are traditional, but it's kind of a story that I found in his book.
A young man from New Jersey, just hungry for a meal, got picked up down in Prince George County. 10 years in a Richmond jail, Lord God, 10 years in a Richmond jail. Sent John Henry to the mountain to work for the railroad then. People come from far and near just to see the steel driving men. Lord God, just to see the steel driving men. Every Monday morning when the bluebirds begin to sing, you could hear those hammers a mile or more. You could hear John Henry's hammering. Lord God, hear John Henry's hammering. Well, the captain told John Henry, gonna bring me a steam drill around. Gonna take that steam drill out on the job. I'm gonna whoop that steel on down. Lord God, whoop that steel on down. John Henry told his captain, go bring your steam drill around. Go take your steam drill out on the job. I'll beat your steam drill down. Lord God, I'll beat your steam drill down. Captain told John Henry, boy, now damn your soul. You might beat the steam drill down on the rocks in this mountain turn to gold. Lord God, rocks in this mountain turn to gold. John Henry told his captain, man ain't nothing but a man. Before I let your steam drill beat me down, I'll die with my hammer in my hand. Lord God, die with my hammer in my hand. Captain told John Henry, tell you what I'm gonna do. You beat my steam drill 15 feet, I'll have a pardon you. Lord God, I haven't pardoned you. John Henry kissed his hammer. White man, turn on steam. Well, he held John Henry's trusty steel. It was the biggest race Virginia ever seen. Lord God, biggest race Virginia ever seen. John Henry told his shaker, hey, Willie, why don't you sing? I'm a throwing 9 pounds from my hips on down. I listen to the cold steel ring. Lord God, listen to the cold steel ring. John Henry told his shaker, my brother, you better pray. If I miss the driving spike, tomorrow be your burying day. Lord God, tomorrow be your burying day. Captain told John Henry, enter the tunnel caving in. John Henry shout to his captain, no man, nothing but my hammer sucking wind. Lord God, nothing but my hammer sucking wind. John Henry told his captain, oh, look yonder what I see. Your drill's done a broke and your hull's done choke, and you can't drive steel like me. Lord God, can't drive steel like me. John Henry was hammering in the mountain, his hammer was striking fire. Drove so hard that he broke his poor heart. Says, cool drink of water for I die. Brother Willie, cool drink of water for I die. John Henry had an old lady. Dress she wore was red. Started up the track and she never looked back. I'm going where my man fell dead. Lord God, going where my man fell dead. Here come John Henry's lady. Her name was Polly Ann. She took up John Henry's hammer to drive one more foot like a man. Lord God, one more foot like a man. Prison, lowered him down in the sand. Every locomotive come a roaring by and said, there lies a steel driving man. Lord God, there lies a steel driving man.
John Henry is the name of the song, and if you're just joining me, this is Simply Folk. I'm Stephanie Elkins, and Andrew Calhoun is here in the studio live. And Andrew, I have to ask you about the beautiful guitar that you're playing. You got some very interesting sounds, kind of helping us to imagine the hammering and right. The driving of the spikes and so forth. That's really neat. But the guitar itself is stunning and really has a nice sound.
I had a crippling tendonitis for a year. I moved to Portland, and I was just playing too much guitar without taking breaks. But sometimes musicians, they turn around 40, things start to catch up to you and need some help. So I was a year where I couldn't play at all. And I started to be able to play again. And I needed a smaller guitar. And this was the last one I saw in the store, because I thought it was a classical, because it has a slotted headstock, but a steel string. I thought, what's that, you know? Well, Martin's Women in Music series, so it's got the depth of a dreadnought, but it's a small body size, 00. It's all mahogany. And I just don't drop it, because it'll crack if you look at it. But I love the guitar. It's got a voice.
It sure does. It has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And you've got quite a voice. Have you been singing most of your life?
I didn't sing as a kid. I'm a little envious sometimes. There's songwriters who grow up singing in church, and they have these, you know, singing comes natural, and they hear all these harmonies and stuff. I didn't have that.
How did you
get
started?
My parents had a lot of folk records, though. And got a guitar when I was 10, but I wasn't too serious about it. It's funny that I got one. I guess I was interested enough to ask for one. But I didn't really know what to do with it, you know. And my parents hadn't gone out together for years. And when I was 12, they went down to hear a mailman who wrote his own songs. It was John Prine. So we went every weekend for a year. And I started, you know, finger picking and figuring out more stuff. And yeah.
And that's a mailman who's still going strong.
Yeah.
Some powerful songs.
Delivering the songs, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have quite a body of work, and it really runs the gamut. I mean, from your own singer-songwriter stories and poems, and I mentioned at the beginning that you're a published poet, to really early music. And I know that you have done some translations from some of the old Scottish languages.
Well,
tell me
it's
about
Scots,
that.
Scots, which is different from Scots Gaelic. And it's, you know, closer to English, so at least you recognize some of the words. But it's a challenge sometimes. And I've gotten better at, you know, getting into these ballads. And it takes a long time, you know, to figure out what liberties you can take with a folk song and which you can't. There's a certain style that the ballads have. You know, when I was working on the Telfer's Cows project, I realized they always end a rhyme or a thought. I mean, an action or a thought ends with a rhyme. You can't rhyme in the middle of it, which modern songwriters do all the time. I thought, oh, that's interesting to find out, because I tried it and it was like, no, I'm violating that. But, you know, you gotta kind of jump in the water and give it a shot. And, you know, it just takes a while.
It sounds like you did it in a very thorough, almost kind of scholarly way, honoring the history and the tradition.
Well, I'll play you on. This is I'm working now on a project which is 10 ballads from the Anglo-Scottish border, most of them from the 1500s when it was sort of warrior country, the debatable lands. It was outlawed territory then. This is before that. And this is based on a historical character named Thomas of Ercildoune, who was a poet and soothsayer, and he predicted the death of the King of Scotland, and he was sort of a Scottish Nostradamus, you know. People were following his prophecies for centuries. But the song is about his, you know, initiation into the gift. And it's this wonderful marriage of pagan and Christian imagery and a lot of good stuff in here. So I put this together from various versions. Harp and Carp. He runs into this lovely woman. He's not aware that she's the queen of Elfland land, and she's in fact out hunting for a mortal tithe to feed to the devil in 7 years. But, you know, there's 305 ballads in the child collection, and this is the only one in which a man listens to the warning of a woman. I think it's unique in that sense. And all the others he does not listen, and of course dies, or else
right.
He dies with 12,000 of his troops. So she says, harp and carp, and to carp is to recite. True Thomas lay on Huntley bank, and all in longing there lay he, and there he spied a lady bright come riding down by the Eildon tree.
Her shirt was of the grass-green silk, her mantle of the velvet fine. From every part of her horse's mane hung 50 silver bells and nine. True Thomas, he doffed off his hat and bowed him low down to his knee. All hail thou mighty Queen of Heaven, for your peer on earth I never did see. Leave off such words, Thomas, she says, that name does not belong to me. I am but the queen of a strange land, come out a hunting, as you can see. Oh, harp and carp, Thomas, she says, oh, harp and carp, and go with me. It'll be 7 years, Thomas, and a day, till you see a man or a woman in your own country. Oh, harp and carp, Thomas, she says, oh, harp and carp, along with me. And if you dare to kiss my lips, sure of your body I shall be. Betide me weal, betide me woe, that fable shall not frighten me. And he has kissed her rosy lips all underneath the Eildon tree. Now you must go, Thomas, she says, true Thomas, you must go with me. And follow me for 7 years, through weal or woe, as chance may be. Oh, she rode on and Thomas ran, until they came to yon clear stream. He casted off his cobbled shoon, and waded the water up to the knee. Oh, she rode on and Thomas ran, until they came to a garden green. He put his hand up to pull the fruit, for hunger he was like to swoon. Hold back your hand, Thomas, she says, hold back your hand, that must not be. It was that cursed fruit of thine, beggared man and woman in your country. But I have a loaf and a draught of wine, and you shall sit and dine with me. And lay your head down in my lap, and I will show thee wonders three. Oh, see ye not yon narrow road, so thick beset with thorns and briars? That is the path of righteousness, though after it but few inquires. And see ye not yon broad, broad road that lies across a lily leaven? That is the path of wickedness, though some call it the road to heaven. And see ye not yon bonny road which winds about the ferny brow? That is the road to Elfland land, where you and I this night must go. But Thomas, you must hold your tongue, whatever you may hear or see. If you speak to any in Elfland land, you'll never get back to your own country. She's mounted on her milk-white steed, she took true Thomas up behind. And every time that the bridle rang, the steed flew swifter than the wind. Oh, they rode on and farther on, they waded through rivers above the knee. And they saw neither sun nor moon, but they heard the sighing of the sea. And they came on to a castle hall, where all was feasting and minstrelsy. And many spoke unto true Thomas, but not one word to any spoke he. Oh, they rode on and farther on. The steed went swifter than the wind until they came to a desert wide, and living land was left behind. In a dark, dark night with no starlight, they waded through red blood to the knee. For all the blood that is shed on earth runs through the springs of that country. At last they came to a garden green. She pulled an apple from a tree. Says, take this for thy wages, Thomas. It will give the tongue that cannot lie. Next morn from hell the foul fiend comes unto Elfland land for to fetch his fee. 'Tis 7 years you have been true. You'll never be betrayed by me. She left him by the island tree, all underneath that greenwood spray, on Huntly Bank, so merry to be, where birds do sing both night and day.
True Thomas. Quite a story, and so many of those child ballads and some of those early songs are just filled with magical images and blood and gore and transformations, and they're full of myth and symbolism. They're fascinating.
They're largely the work of women, the ballads. When they were collected, they were mostly collected from, you know, old women who sang at their work, you know, and they were sung to kids, you know, to get some of that wisdom into the early bloodstream, you know. It wasn't Walt Disney, but I love those songs, you know.
Yeah, I played that, quite a few of the child ballads for Halloween just because they were kind of creepy and,
Wife of Usher's Well, you know that one?
No.
That's got the ghost sons coming back to visit. It's...
One of the newer releases is Anais Mitchell, who's done some of the child ballads, really nice. And I noticed that that's one of the artists that you've worked with in the past. And I am very curious about your record label and how it got started and how the artists find you or you find them and that kind of thing. Why don't you tell us about Waterbug a little bit?
Well, this is our 20th year.
Congratulations.
So 20 years in, and... you know, we limp along, but I fly low to the ground. You know, there aren't a lot of expenses, and the artists fund their own projects. I started it in the early 90s. I started going to Kerrville in 1990. I wasn't hearing anything in the 80s. I wondered if all the songwriters had gone into computer programming or something, but there was this. So I went to Kerrville to see if there was anything going on, and met Steve Fisher and Cat Eggleston that year, and continue to meet artists there, Cozy Sheridan, Tom Paine.
And you're talking about Kerrville Folk Festival
in Texas. Yeah. A lot of bonding happens there. You stay up all night and sing at campfires. And so I was hearing these beautiful songs, and none of us had two nickels to rub together. So I started with my album, and I was doing a collection called American Impressionist Songwriters. And when I put it out, none of us had anything on CD. There were people like Chuck Brodsky on there and Diane Ziegler, and it was a really good collection, if I say so myself. It was taken, you know, presenting songwriting as an art form. I think it was really kind of a renaissance at that time. A lot of people doing really interesting things with the form. So I cooked up the idea actually with Cozy in 92 to just start a label where there was a... distributors look for a flow of product. So it's all smoke and mirrors. It's still just me, you know. But we look bigger than we are, and the DJs have come to trust us because the music is good. Mostly it's an organic way that I find people. I've met a number of people at Folk Alliance, and there's some people you know by the way they say hello. You know, I remember 95, I was in Washington at the Folk Alliance and had a booth there, and you know, Kate McLeod was there, and she handed me her first record, and she sort of leans into me and said, listen to it, it's good, you know. And I looked at the record and the song titles and I saw there was a Gene Ritchie song and I went, yeah, this one's good, you know. And Erin Corday walked up and I had never met her. And I almost said, do you want to be on the label? And she gave me a CD. And those were the two I put in my bag and those were the two of the 60 or so that I wanted to put out. So you just kind of know immediately. Once on Blue Moon, there's something in the mail like Jen Rawling and Basho Parks, you know.
Oh, they
that
are just
really
fabulous.
That was really special music, and that's some of the most original songwriting I've heard in years is what Jen does. She'll use a pause as part of her image, and it just knocks me out, you know. It's so simple and understated.
And his fiddle is just a beautiful punctuation.
A brilliant synergy of talents.
Well, and you talked about the DJs trusting the label when that one first came in the mail. I listened to it because it was on Waterbug, because I knew it was going to be something meaningful and something high quality. And when you're, we get 200 to 300 song tracks a week here.
Incredible.
Whether in physical CDs or now more and more by song links. And it's really hard to wade through that. And you provide a really important service for artists in that way.
Distribution sales are practically, you know, nothing. But there's still value with the recognition at radio. And I'm looking at, you know, I've had every reason over the years to close it, and I just haven't wanted to. I need to morph into a web-based thing. When I started, I had these other ideas, like the Waterbug Quarterly or Monthly. It'd be more like the Sun magazine. And if we did that just on the web, it'd be a way to get good songs out, even if somebody isn't a professional, you know, and more themed collections. Get challenge people to write stuff that way. So, you know, I think it's going to continue. This just came to me on a long walk last week.
Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I think it was one of the early ideas that I forgot about because I got so bogged down in the standard way the business works. And everything I've done that's actually worked has been my own weird ideas. Like, we were the first people to do these samplers, you know, and the artists fund them. And then everyone started doing them. But it was a way for artists to cooperate, to help each other get heard and sell them cheap at gigs. And I like that spirit of cooperation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it mirrors what you see in the folk world in general.
Yeah, I think that's our strength, you know, the grassroots. Sometimes you get this sort of corporate energy coming in, like, let's copy this way of doing it. It's like, no, let's keep the grassroots strong and be grateful, you know.
Yeah.
Let's have a way for people to make a decent living without being, you know, stars.
Right.
Yeah, that's the goal. Harder and harder to achieve these days, but a lot of people are having a hard time.
Well, there's a lot of creativity, though, and that's what makes it rewarding, is those meaningful songs.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, what would you like to do next?
Well, this is one from my new album called Living Room, and it's a short song, but it took me a year and a half to get to a place where I could write it. So it's distilled. And it's a love song. But it's a love song in the wake of a complete disaster. So here we go. It's only for love I was angry. Only for love I was wrong. Only for love I rode away on the heels of a bitter song. Only for love that I lingered, only for love that I left. In those hard blue days of horror, of love by love bereft. And that was the joke in the twilight, and a riddle hung ripe in the rain. God knows you never expected to have a damn thing to explain. It's only for love I was angry, only for love I was wrong, only for love I was set free to sing one last love song. I love you outside of a riddle,
And I love you upside of a cross. I love you in ribbons and tatters, in echoes and dreams and loss. For love that's tried in darkness and held complete in one is love that walks beside you no matter where. No matter where you are.
That is a short one, Only yeah. for Love. And that's the recording that I've been listening to. It's called Living Room. It's got all kinds of interesting songs, and some inspired by the civil rights movement and spirituals, and it's a really an uplifting CD. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it certainly reflects. I've gotten a lot more interested in history in the last few years, and the sense that, you know, history is, we're all drops in this river, you know, it's not a distant thing. And stuff that used to seem like a long time ago to me seems like yesterday now. So I'm getting old, Stephanie.
I think we all are.
I kind of like it, though.
You're just reflecting on a little bit later in the show, we have songs in honor of, well, not the in honor of, but to mark the assassination of JFK 50 years this week. And so many of us are thinking back to where we were and what we were thinking. And then it's also the anniversary this week of the Gettysburg Address, 150
yeah.
years. And boy, you know, the confluence of those two things in the same week got
That's
me thinking
amazing,
about history also.
Yeah. Yep. It's, you know, there's such, the textbooks kids are given are such, so vanilla, you know? And I think if they just give kids the information about the American story, that we could do better than we've done. But if kids don't have that information, they won't know how. You know, there's a greatness about the country, and there's just a real brutality. And the brutality, if you ignore it, I mean, the whole slavery, civil rights thing. I sing John Henry because this is still going on. That's a song about convict leasing. And, you know, there's 2.3 million Americans or so in prison. Many working for corporations. Not all our jobs have been shipped overseas. We're still fighting this fight. We can't seem to pay a fair wage, and, you know, it's supposed to be a free country. We're not there yet, so.
Well, we have a ways to go, and thankfully songwriters to bring attention to many, many issues. We've got time, Andrew, for one more song. What would you like to close with?
Well, it's a happy tune, and I mentioned getting older. This is a song of mine that, you know, it's a very positive song. People like it. You got to have one or two of those in your repertoire, you know?
Yes, you do.
And it's called Glad Old Man.
I'm gonna be a glad old man. Gonna be a glad old man. Gonna sit on the porch and sing a sad song. Gonna be a glad old man. Gonna have 2 dozen grandkids banging on the baby grand, and I won't take them to Disney World, nor never to Disneyland, nor never to Disneyland. Gonna take them out in a rowboat on a sweet late summer day. Gonna float around and say nothing, 'cause I got nothing better to say, 'cause I got nothing better to say. TV, and I won't listen to the news, and I won't go to the doctor, 'cause I got better things to do, got better things to do. I'm gonna plant 8 million flowers, fix supper for the local mutts, I'm gonna sit on the toilet for hours and drive my old lady nuts, drive my old. All afternoon, she can tell the guests I'm sick. But if she wants to get right to sleep at night, she'll have to beat me off with a stick. She'll have to beat me off with a stick. I'll be fond of my old friend, and she'll be fond of me. And I love her more at 94 than I did at 93, than I did at 93. I'm gonna be a glad old man, gonna be a glad old man. Gonna sit on the porch and sing a sad song. I'm gonna be a glad old man.
Glad old man, that's Andrew Calhoun, and we've been listening to some traditional music and some of his own stuff, and if you'd like more information, you can find it at andrewcalhoun.com. And Andrew, you've got a couple of projects in the works. You're working on a duo recording with your daughter. How's that going?
Daughter Casey, yeah, we've got a batch of songs together, and we hope to start recording in December. She's a really, really special singer.
Great.
I'm more backing her up than, you know, anything else. Casey Calhoun.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you're still busy with Waterbugs, so you've got...
There's a new Kate McLeod record actually coming out, which is songs based on books, all songs based on books. Really interesting oddball project.
Ooh, that sounds like a good public radio project.
Yeah.
And you've got, it looks like, a house concert coming up in Indiana this coming Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And you're busy in December as well, something in Illinois. All of that information is on your website, the Dixon Mounds Museum.
That's Chris Filillo's gig. Yeah.
Oh, I've got something by him on the playlist tonight.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you very much, Andrew, for sharing your time and your talent with us this afternoon.
Thanks, Stephanie. It's been a pleasure.
And for what you do for independent folk musicians through Waterbug as well. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.